Morning. Let's turn to Matthew 16. Again, in terms of schedule, right, starting this Monday, for everyone that's doing the 21-day fast, we'll break fast Monday morning, and then we'll continue on, but the EMP schedule will go back to normal, right? And so we'll go Tuesday to Friday, okay? And so, but next week, obviously, Monday, since we're breaking the fast, we'll meet. And then on Tuesday morning, for people that have to go in early, once a week, we're going to have an EMP at 6:20, right? And so if you're one of those early 7 o'clock people, then at least you can come once a week. And that's kind of our goal this year, right? That everyone at church comes to morning prayer at least once a week, right? That's kind of a goal I hope you set for yourself. That's at least, if you want to come more, you're more than welcome to, obviously, right? We need to go back to our roots of being a praying church, okay? Matthew chapter 16. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came up and testing him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you not know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and a sign will not be given it except the sign of Jonah." And he left them and went away. And the disciples came to the other side and had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said to them, "Watch out for and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." And they began to discuss amongst themselves, saying, "It is because we took no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread, but beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees?" Then they understood that he did not say to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying, "Who do the people say that the Son of Man is?" And some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he warned disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised up on the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will a man be profited if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then recompense every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who shall not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Amen. In chapter 16, we start off, and again, you know, the Pharisees are kind of all over Jesus' case, and you know, they come very arrogantly, and they say, "Hey, do something for us, you know, show us something, show us a miracle." You know, I don't know about you, but I actually asked God many, many times before I met him the same exact question. You know, "God, if you're God, do this for me, or do that for me, or whatnot." And, you know, and God never really answered me, right? And it was probably because of the condition of my heart, you know. And he says, an adulterous generation seeks after a sign. And so he goes, and then they get into a discourse, right, about bread. Remember, Jesus just fed 4,000 people. And so, you know, they are on the shore. He fed a bunch of people. They go back into the boat to get to the other side of where they wanted to go, and the guys get in, and, you know, this is a kind of a, I think good news for a lot of us, right? Because the disciples are pretty much idiots, you know? I mean, I don't want to sound so negative and stuff, but, I mean, they're pretty dense, you know? They really have no idea what's going on. And so Jesus begins to tell them about the leaven of the Pharisees. And what's meant by that, the leaven is the yeast. In other words, you know, and this is what happens a lot, right? Even a little bit of very erroneous teaching or a little bit of, you know, kind of skepticism or something like that can actually ruin the whole lot. Yeast works like that, right? It gets into the dough. You just put a little yeast in, but the yeast penetrates the whole dough. And so he's telling his disciples, beware of the teaching, right? Basically the false teaching. And we talked about that, you know, yesterday, you know, a little bit. So if you want more, you can go online and listen to yesterday's devotion. And so he comes and the disciples are sitting there and they're discussing the fact they have no bread, right? Because they're thinking, oh, Jesus is talking about yeast. Okay. He must be upset that we don't have any bread. You know, and so, these guys are just totally lost, you know. And then Jesus turns to them and says, hey, like, come on, don't you understand what I'm saying? And he actually gives them a whole nother point here. And he says, remember when we went out and, let me get the words correct, right? You know, we had 5 loaves and we fed 5,000, you know, and then we had 7 loaves and 4,000, and how many baskets full? Remember, there's 12 baskets full and 5 baskets full. You know, he's basically giving them a math equation, right? And basically what it is, right, this is what Jesus is telling these guys. He says, look, don't worry about not having any bread. I could actually take little, and I can make it into much. You know, remember he had if you want a better one, turn to Mark chapter 8. It's the same one, but he explains it a little better here, okay? I'll just do this really quick. And Mark chapter 8, right, says the same thing. It says in verse 19, when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you pick up? He said 12. When I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full did you pick up? And they said 7. Then he says, don't you understand? See, these guys were, because in Mark 8, they only had one piece of bread. What Jesus was saying is, imagine what I can do with one piece of bread. See, in Jesus' economy, he actually takes less, feeds more, and he has more left over. Very different when the world thinks, right? You know, he fed 5,000 one time, he fed 4,000 one time. When he fed 5,000, he actually started with less, and he ended up with more, right? And so he's giving this equation, and these guys are talking about, oh, we don't have any bread, and he's saying, basically, don't you know who I am? Don't you know that I don't need a lot? I actually need just a little bit. And with that little bit, I can do a lot. And I have even more left over. You know, and he's giving them, you know, and this is Jesus, he's always giving them a lesson about himself. You know, and it says, I can do so much more, right, with so little. You know, in our economy, it's so different, right? Our economy, you know, not our financial economy, but our world, it's all about, I need a lot. You know, what's the adage? You need to have money to make money. In Jesus' economy, it's very different. You actually just need a little bit, and God will do a lot with a little, and you'll even have more left over afterwards. You know, and so he gives them this beautiful picture of who he is, right? And then these guys get it. And then this is the... I mean, you're talking about the piece de resistance. This is happening right here, right? And he turns to his disciples and he says, who do the people say that I am? And good answers, right? Elijah. Because Elijah, to the Jewish people, was the premier miracle worker, right? And seeing Jesus' miracles, they were like, you know, like, wow, this, you must be the second coming of Elijah, you know? I mean, we've never seen miracles like this since, you know, the Tishbite, you know, back in the days. You know, and then say, well, and some say Jeremiah. Why Jeremiah? Because Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, right? Jeremiah was the brokenhearted prophet, you know? And so, you know, they very easily saw Jesus in that same way where he would weep over Jerusalem and he would care for, you know, the widows and the orphans and the kids, you know? And they thought, yeah, surely, you know, you must be, you know, Jeremiah, you know, or one of the prophets, you know? And you know, and then some say even John the Baptist. Right? I mean, why John the Baptist? They're contemporaries. I don't, you know, those guys were not the smart ones, right? But, you know, John the Baptist, maybe because, you know, John the Baptist was an incredible orator, you know, an incredible preacher, and they saw that in Jesus, you know, and this is the question of the ages, right? Every single living person on this planet, from way back then to after we leave this earth, will have to answer this question, right? When they go see the Maker, who do you say that I am? Right? This is the undeniable, inescapable question of the ages. When we go meet the Lord in heaven, you know, or in the waiting place, I don't know exactly how it's laid out. When we go meet him, right, this is the one question that's going to be asked. Who do you say that I am? Plain and simple. It's not, in the beginning, it's who do the people say that I am, right? And okay, oh yeah, you know, it's like, you're the Christian God, you know, you're a leader of the Jewish people, you know, you're this, you know, you're a founder of the church, you know, and you can make all kinds of, in other words, this doesn't require any relationship. Who do the people say that I am? And then he goes, drives straight to the point. And friends, every single one of us, we must answer this question. But who do you say that I am? Right? Who is Jesus to you? You know, you can't pawn this off anyone else now. You can't say, oh, you're my dad's God. You know, or you're my grandmother believes in you. That's not going to cut it. Right? This is a question that's going to be asked every single human being. Living, dead, you know, future, your kids, you know, should the Lord tarry, right? Who do you say that I am? And the answer has to come affirmatively. You are the Christ, right? You are the Son of the living God. You are my Lord. It's a totally different thing. And the answer, right, is not just a verbal answer. The answer is going to be depicted upon the way that you lived your life. This is how you know that he is the Christ, right? This is the inescapable question. Every single person on this planet, you sitting here right now, right? You can't pawn this off on anybody else, right? This is between you and God, right? Through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so in that question, who is Jesus right now? You know, we talked on Sunday a little bit about lordship, right? Is he really Lord of your life? Is he really God? Or is he just a teacher? Is he just a religious figure? You know, is he just an exalted person in history? You know, is he a historical figure? You know, I mean, there's all kinds of different answers, right? You know, and if you ever, you know, read C.S. Lewis, and he has some really great commentary, you know, on this passage, right? But who do you say that I am? Every single one of us must answer this question, right? In other words, you can't just go to church. You know what I mean? And I don't know if you picked that up, but that's one thing that I really rail against, right? You know, is people just coming to church just to fulfill some kind of religious duty. That doesn't get you anywhere, right? It's depend. You know, this belief is depending on how we live our lives. And then he turns, right? And Jesus and Peter answers, and you know, finally Peter does something good, right? You are the Christ, that you are the Yeshua Messiah, you know, and the Son of the living God. And then Jesus, right? He receives the claim to deity, right? As a rabbi, he should have rebuked him, you know, but he receives it and he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of John, right? Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. And then he lays the foundation of the church. Right, and he says to you, and he says, now you are Peter. The Greek word is Petros, which means a little stone. Right, you are Petros, and upon this rock, Petra, I will build my church. Petra is the big rock, right, which is, he's talking about himself. You know, I know there are some traditions that they believe that Peter is the foundation of the church. They totally misread this passage. He's not building the church on Peter. That's Petros. It's just a little stone, right, little rock. He's building his church on Petra, on the rock, which is Christ. And Peter, you know, because of this episode, he will totally pick up on this theme of rocks and boulders and stones. You know, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 2, right, he calls all the believers little stones, you know, and he talks about the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling, the chief cornerstone, right? I mean, Peter just goes crazy with the stone analogies, the rock analogies, right? Because God, that's what God called him. He says, you are the little stone. Right, you're the better translation is you're the little pebble. you know, but the rock, which is Christ. And he says, and upon this rock, I will build my church. You know how powerful the church is going to be? It says the gates of Hades should not overpower it. Now, if you have to think a little bit, right? This is not, he's not talking about the gates of heaven, right? He's talking about the gates of hell, right? If you're in hell and you have a gate, what are you trying to do, right? You're trying to prevent people from going out. You know, you're not trying to prevent, you know, I mean, coming in, you know, is one that aspect, right? And so what he's telling us, he says, he's basically saying the church is on the offensive. It's not like we're afraid of the devil. It's actually the devil's afraid of us. That's why he needs gates. You know, it's a whole different interpretation, right, of what we normally think. So, and he says, and now he says, not only, right, is the power, right, but you have authority. I'm going to give you the keys. Remember, keys, especially in the ancient East, it represented authority, right? And, you know, in the same way, right, like, we talk about, you know, oh, the guy has a lot of keys, right? Or we use the word, has a lot of weight. The word is doxa, you know, and you know, it's talking about authority, right? You know, and so he comes and he says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, right? The authority from heaven over our lives, you know, and whatever you shall bind on earth or bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then he begins to warn them. And then it continues to go on and he tells them, look, I got to go to Jerusalem. They're going to kill me. You know, all these things happen. And then Peter says to him, right? Now, Peter, just a moment ago, I mean, this is good news for us. It really is, right? Just a moment ago, moved in such revelation, right? I mean, wisdom. What did he say? You know, he turned and says, you are the Christ. Whoa, you are the Son of the living God. And then, like, almost in a split second, right, Jesus tells them these things, and then, you know, Peter turns and says, no, Lord, no way you're going to do this. And what does Jesus say? He says, get back, Satan. He went from saying, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, right? And then he turns around the next breath, says, Satan, get away. You know, now obviously he wasn't calling Peter Satan, right? I mean, you know, you don't make a lot of friends like that. You call your, you know, call your friends names like this. You know, but he was talking about the spirit that was operating behind Peter in this instance. You know, do you find yourself to be sometimes schizophrenic in your faith? I mean, this is an honest question, right? You know, do you find that some days you're high and some days you're low, right? You might be just like Peter, you know? It's okay, right? I mean, it's okay for a season, right? Because then Peter, he really came to his senses and really encountered Jesus, you know, and more than anything, he really encountered the forgiveness of Christ, and phew, that was it. No more schizophrenic Peter, right? And I don't know if you know about Peter's life leading on, you know, but when they were going to crucify Peter, he actually begged them as they were crucifying him to crucify him upside down, right? I mean, can you imagine how torturous that would have been? Right, I mean, same thing, and his plea, his last breaths, you know, I mean, according to the historians, and you can pick up, this is a great book called Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you're really interested, there's great stories in there, and the reason why he says, I'm not worthy to die like my Savior died, and so they actually asked him to crucify him upside down, and so if you go to Turkey, you know, or, you know, Asia Minor and places, you'll find Peter's apostolic symbol is actually the upside down cross, you know, because that's how he was crucified. You know, and so, you know, if you are schizophrenic in your faith, there's good news, right? Because God can really set your heart straight. And so he says, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You know, what is the demonic, you know, spirit? Right here. Setting your mind on God's interests instead. Or I'm sorry, setting your mind, right, on man's interests instead of God's. That is the demonic spirit. You know, and we think, you know, evil is murder and all this stuff. You know, it starts right there, right? The demonic, right? The roots of the demonic start right here, right? That you set yourself on man's interests instead of God's interests, right? Your way instead of Yahweh, right? What you want to do, right? Instead of what God wants to do. And that's how it starts right there in that place, right? And then he goes and he begins to share more about, you know, what he needs to do. And if you just, I mean, we read this now and we don't really think much about it, but can you imagine living in the first century? And Jesus says, look, if you want to really come after me, you need to deny yourself. That was pretty revolutionary in itself. And then he says, you need to pick up your cross. Now, these guys knew what the cross was. You know, to us, it's a piece of jewelry, you know, and an ornament that we put up in churches. But these guys living these times, they knew exactly what the cross was. It's the most grisly death that you can ever encounter, right? Reserved only for the worst of criminals, right? And he tells these guys, you need to pick up your own cross. In other words, you need to choose, right, to go to the, you know, to the cross. You know, deny yourself, pick up your cross, and then follow me. You know, no wonder, right? You'll notice that Jesus, his words to the disciples and to the crowd get stronger and stronger and stronger. Remember in the beginning, he had like huge crowds of people because he was healing them. You know, he was feeding them. He was doing all these things. And then he started really sharing about what the Christian life was. And do you remember at the end, his crowd dissipated. In fact, at the end, there was only one person left, and it was John. Right, even his disciples took off. You know, I mean, it's kind of interesting, right? You know, we hear Jesus say, you know, beware that the road is narrow. You know, many are called, few are chosen. We think about those terms and stuff, and this is really it, right? You know, most people, I'll be really honest, most people in the church, perfectly honest, right? Most people in the church, they will live their Christian life predominantly for themselves. There'll be moments where they'll be sacrificial. But most, generally speaking, they will live the Christian life for themselves, for what they can get out of it, right? There'll be a handful of what we call the remnant that will actually really, really grasp the gospel, right, and totally give their lives away. You know, it'd be a totally different thing, right? You know, I shared in the second service yesterday, and this is not an indictment on Bill Johnson or anything like that. You know, I don't know if you guys weren't there. But, you know, I went to the CSW conference over the weekend, you know, and the president of CSW around the world, he came and he shared it. And, you know, it was at, you know, Island ECC on the second floor, which is a smaller sanctuary. It was pretty empty, man. You know, how many people do you think were there, Tom? 20, 30 people? Yeah, it was pretty pathetic, actually, right? I thought it was going to be a huge crowd, and Tom was there because they were leading worship. And, I mean, it was a wonderful time, great meeting. We learned a lot of stuff. But predominantly, most of the church didn't show up, you know, because, I mean, for whatever reason, right? But, you know, about human rights and Christian suffering and how we can do that, people really don't care all that much, you know? But in a few weeks, there's going to be a revivalist that comes to town. You know, and again, this is nothing on him or the event or anything. I'm going myself as well. You know, but there's a revivalist coming, you know, and he's gonna share a word, and hopefully maybe some people get healed, and maybe someone get a prophetic word or something. And that place is gonna be packed out, and people are actually paying to go to a church service. You know, it's like, you know, and the guy was actually just making a comment on that, you know, and when I was there, I was thinking the same exact thing. You know, even while he was speaking, I was actually talking to God and saying, yeah, this really sucks. You know, like people in Hong Kong are so much more concerned about being blessed than they are about being a blessing. You know, and then I had a really good talk with him afterwards. And we really, I mean, we really got to really share our hearts together. And it's something, huh? You know, we'll go out of our way to be blessed. We will. You know, I mean, we'll go out of our way to receive something, to receive a prophetic word. But then when someone asks you to serve at church or take out the trash or clean up or, oh, don't ask me stuff like that. You know, I mean, like really, you know, simple things are really to give our lives away, right? But we're more concerned about being blessed. There's something wrong with that, you know? And when Jesus, as he gets closer to the cross, to Jerusalem, that's his message, you know? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me, right? I'm telling you, I'll be perfectly honest with you. You know what? I don't want a big church. And it's not so much, you know, about big church or anything like that. I mean, I know people will come, right? And hopefully it's because God's leading them. Because I know that you can get lost in a big church. And you can just come and sit and pick your nose and go home and feel like you did a religious duty. Right? You know, I'm really, honestly, right? I'd rather have 50 people that are just committed to the gospel. I think if we talk about impact, mission, you know, I think we can do a lot better with 50 people than 2,000 people, right, that just come to church. You know, 50 be a blessing people besides 2,000, you know, let me be blessed people, right? It's a whole nother ball game. Jesus changed the world with 11 guys that were about being a blessing. It's just something to think about, okay? So let's close our eyes. Maybe it was a little too serious for a morning. But, hey man, Jesus is ratcheting up the rhetoric, you know? And so I just got to come alongside what he's saying. And the idea is, what profited a man if he should gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? If you want to come after me, Jesus says, you need to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. This is a serious call to discipleship. See, God doesn't need a lot. He actually needs a little. But a committed little. Was it John Wesley who said, give me 100 preachers that care nothing about their life, right? That just want to, you know, I'm paraphrasing that, but just want to go wild for the gospel. And he said, I'll change the world. His prayer was, Lord, set me on fire. Let the whole world come and watch me burn. I preach strong messages like this because when I look at you guys, I see the potential in God, the incredible potential in God. My job is to call that out. It's in you. You wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't. But let's get out of our self-centered ideas and mindsets and fix our eyes on Jesus. As Mon leads us in a song, well, let's just meditate on that before the Lord.
Things in the past, things.
Says, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Let's lose ourselves in Jesus. Let's just completely lose ourselves in the love of the Lord. Right, in the strength of His grip. Right, knowing that if we do that, man, we'll live the most fruitful lives that we've ever imagined. You know, He doesn't say these things to us to make us miserable. Right, He says it because He knows that this is how we can really have life. Get out of the rat race and really, really live in the way that He intended for us to live. Let's just spend a moment. Let's just pour through our hearts. And just really give ourselves to Jesus this morning. Let's pray together. And also today, let's pray for Amber Quick, right? She's going in for to have her baby today. I think she's being induced. She's actually a week late. And so let's just ask the Lord to bless. And, you know, inducing is not really the best thing to do, but it's okay. You know, but let's just pray for a healthy delivery and, you know, pray for Nate and the boys. And, you know, they wouldn't worry about their mom. And God would just really cover them today as they go to the hospital. Let's pray. Let's pray for our mission focus. Let's pray for the Philippines. Let's ask God to bless this country and continue. Let's pray for Solomon's Clinic, the med clinic that we built last year. And I pray for Mr. Zhang, Elder Zhang, and ask the Lord to continue to bless him in his ministry and things that he puts his hands to. And so let's bless. And I think we're sending a team there this summer as well, right? And so let's pray for just a real successful trip. Let's pray for our ministries. Let's lift up the worship team and our three worship leaders, Pastor Nate and Chris and Samantha. Let's pray for the welcoming team. This is Soyeon and Hannah Huang. That God would just really continue to use them in the men's and women's ministries. And Sandra leading the men's, and we're still looking for a leader for the women's ministry. Let's ask God to really continue to draw our men and women together in the bond of love. Let's pray. Let's pray for our Friday house church for McCain tonight. Let's ask God's hand to be upon them. Bless Jimmy and Bo as they lead, and just real spirit of Jesus would flow through their lives. Let's pray tonight. Let's pray over SP Move. Let's ask God to continue to show us the way and help us in our fundraising. We looked at a couple buildings yesterday. It looks quite promising. Just continue to pray for God's wisdom and favor. Let's pray for the Vine and ask the Lord to continue to bless them and their efforts as well. Let's just lift up this whole project before the Lord. Let's pray for our beloved brother Ben. Let's pray for salvation for his parents and God's forgiveness for their sins. Pray for a growing deeper and wider relationship with God. Pray for guidance in a full-time career in Hong Kong and marriage plan in 2017. Is that right? It's wonderful. Right? 2007, that's the year, man, right? A godly and beautiful woman that Jesus Christ will for him. And pray for God's love for all the people in the world, that the good news of Jesus would go to all the nations. So let's just lift up Ben.
Let's pray for Soyeon. Let's pray for her parents and her brother's health and their walk in God to strengthen. Let's pray for a deeper relationship with more trust in God, guidance in work and career, guidance in the ministry, and also that all her relationships will be pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray for Ashley Louie. Pray that she would grow in intimacy with the Lord. Pray for her grandfather who has dementia, that he would really come to know Jesus and be healed. And encouragement also for grandma who's taking care of him. And for joy at school and love for students and colleagues and wisdom to share the Lord with them and to build meaningful relationships. So let's lift up Ashley. Lord, we bless you today, God. We pray that you would just continue to watch over us, Father, and help us, God, to truly, God, set our mind on your interests and not ours, God. Lord, that we would deny ourselves and pick up the cross and follow after you daily, Lord. Lord, watch over us, God. We especially pray over Amber and their family. Lord, we thank you, God, that you're going to bring a beautiful boy into this world today. Just bless them, God, and draw them to you. Draw us to you, God. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today. I know some of you guys are not here this weekend to break your fast, and so just come to the front, and we'll serve you communion today.